Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 2:08. This is the home of the Minnesota Twins, WCC Radio, and the manager of the Minnesota Twins, Rocco Baldelli, is back with us as he was last year, and we love to have Rocco in studio. The plan is we're going to talk life, music, food, other things, family. First segment, then we'll get to the ball club. We can get Rocco here until about 2:45. We just talked briefly family. You now have a 3-year-old and 2 16-year-olds. How is life different today as we have this conversation compared to a year ago when it's a 2-year-old and 2 6-month-olds?
So I'm speechless. I go home for the off season. No, life has changed a lot since the kids have shown up. The babies, they're in charge. That's what I'm finding. My wife is an amazing mother, and a mother who loves just being there and being with the kids all day long. I get the off season where I'm home. During the season, we're working. Right. Mm-hmm. We're out.
Yep.
I love it. Like, honestly, I love it. I enjoy planning the day every day. I enjoy watching them do new things every other day. They have personalities that are showing up, and I'm glad that I get a chance to be there with them as they're showing it.
Where is Rocco Baldelli a better dad now than you were a year ago? Because let's be honest, we can prepare for it all we want. We can read all these books. We can watch other people. But the story I tell all the time, when my first boy was born, Hunter, we drove about 100 yards away, and I stopped the car. And my wife, Kathleen, said, "Why'd you stop?" And I go, "Look in the back. What are we going to do? Nobody's coming with us." And you figured out, but you've had so many more experiences in the last year. Where are you a different dad at this point?
Well, I think I'm probably I feel like I'm a different dad every week that I'm home. And the one thing about this that I think I'm changing the most with, my wife is – one thing I'll thank her for probably the most after all this is she has me and I'm at home and I'm used to being on the go and being able to just be there, just spend as much time with my kids as possible – is something that I want to continue to do over time. Now, I love my job very much. Mm-hmm. I really do. I'm passionate about it. I've been doing it for 25 years since the day I graduated high school. I've been working in professional baseball.
Right.
But if I'm not going to be at the ballpark and catching an occasional live music set somewhere.
Oh, we're going there.
Yeah, I bet. I want to be home with my kids. Yeah. And I don't know if that's how I've changed in the last year. I don't know if I've truly changed that much in the last year, maybe in some small ways. But as time goes on, the one thing that I'm feeling more and more is that I would rather be home with these kids watching them grow up.
All right, Dave, you got to get back to the microphone here because Dave comes up with a music theme. If I suggest a music theme for a proper music, Dave, tell Rocco and Dustin Morris is in here too. Tell these two gentlemen in the audience what you say.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to comment at all on the music. I can when it's played, but I can't say, hey, here'd be a good idea. So tell Rocco what we're playing today.
Well, I know Rocco is perhaps the world's largest Fish fan. So we are playing Fish today, but we are only playing one Fish song. And it just happens to be Runaway Jim because I have the a cut that goes about 28 minutes. So I'm literally just picking different points within that specific version of the song from a concert in 1998. And we're just maybe a minute 30 in, maybe 20 minutes in. Who knows?
Right.
That's all we're doing.
Okay, so then we had a bet. Has Rocco attended a Fish concert this offseason? I said yes.
Okay. Did anyone say no?
No.
Okay.
Nobody said no.
Good.
We both said yes. We both said yes.
Do we need to set an over-under?
Yes.
Yeah, I attended. I went to Madison Square Garden with a handful of my friends. The band still plays four shows running up to every New Year's Eve. And
yep.
Normally I try to catch a show. I train. I take the train. I take the Amtrak in. I take the regional, not the Acela, because at my station, that's all that really shows up. But I caught a great show. The band is still playing great music. That it's still a tremendous live experience that they put on. And now I would say, like, the deepest, the truest Fish fans could probably listen to that gym, that Runaway Gym, and tell you what show specifically.
Oh, I know that.
And the date that it was from. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to by listening, but I'll be paying attention when you play it.
Okay. I have, one works here, Adam Carter, and then another friend of mine, Patrick Hunt, who are every bit as passionate as you. Then I got about half dozen go casually, and they're the same thing. Like, if you play a song, they'll say the year and the show, and I'm like, you know, there are people I've seen 7-8 times too. I have no idea. Now, Carter went and saw Fish at the Sphere,
mm-hmm.
you know, the much ballyhooed Sphere where I was lucky enough to go last year. I didn't see music. It was related to my son with health issues, but it's stunning. Now, would you want to see Fish at the Sphere?
I think it would be great. Yeah. Honestly, a new venue, a new experience. I appreciate the venues that I get to go see. Maybe not as much as the music, but it's part of the trip. And a lot of the best Fish shows I remember. A lot of it's like looking around and spending time with the people that you're there with, and enjoying the view, you know. And I would say MSG is great because it's probably it's a great place to see music, listen to music. And
it's such a dump in the other parts of that building. But then when you get in the main venue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It lifts
packed,
up.
It shakes.
It's
the acoustics are good for
phenomenal.
Such a huge
venue.
But that's a good place to see them. But the venue is certainly part of it for me.
You're so busy when you're up here. But do you and you can't say Target Field? Do you have a favorite place to see music here, or can you even jump into that at all during the season?
Very, very rare during the baseball season. A little different than most sports. There's no evenings really off. They're very, very, very few. So normally try to grab a bite to eat. Normally just get home and try to relax and get ready for the next day, which is a game. The opportunities to see live music during the season, not really. Once in a while, you get lucky. You mm-hmm. might catch something, whether it be here or on the road. But it's hard to have a favorite venue when you can't catch very much.
Which ballpark plays the best music?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I have to say, I mean, Dustin Morse, got to mention his name. He's sitting next to us right now in studio, and you know, he's here. So, you know, I definitely have to say Target Field. But
okay. outside of
Target Field. So we'll likely never hear it again. The Coliseum in Oakland.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a lot of things you could say about the place.
Mm-hmm.
Many things.
Yeah.
But one thing they would bring in is someone that really understood music, and you would not hear the conventional, jock jams songs that we've heard for 20 years. You hear none of that. It was almost like a...
And it's a good cross-section?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And anything stuff you can't even imagine is being played. A lot of songs, I'm not even sure what I'm listening to, but it's good, and it sounds right, and that's what they roll with, and whoever they had in charge over there, they got it.
Well, I shouldn't say this because I work for CCO Radio, but that's how I feel about The Current here in town. I love listening to The Current, and I don't know. Do I know 30% of the songs? Do I know 40%? I don't know. But the other 60%, about half of them, I'm like, what a great tune this is.
Right.
And when I was calling the Wolves for 16 years, I was so happy when it was Arena, when they didn't just go to the same seven songs that I've heard the last year after year after year. Okay, one last item, then we'll pause. This is my running joke with friends of mine who live on the East Coast. I think we have too many East Coast states. I think we need to get rid of... Dave, how many states we get rid of on the East Coast?
Well, you want to combine some.
I want to combine.
Yeah.
Now, Rhode Island
and New Hampshire.
Let's get to Rhode Island here. Does that stay? I don't know. Does Rhode Island have to stay as a state, or could you combine with other states?
I mean, it's an incredible character state. I mean, you're talking coastline.
It's a glue state, is what it is. It's a lunch pail state.
It's a glue state. Nice. I like that. Tremendous history in the
Maine.
State.
Do we need Maine?
We need New England. Let's keep New
Vermont?
England. New England.
Do we need Vermont?
Oh, you better believe.
I'm not saying
Vermont.
like Delaware? Cut them off and they float out. Yeah, Delaware. Come on, we don't need Delaware, do we?
I won't comment.
Come on,
on
put this out there.
How's that?
Rocco Baldelli, Twins manager, calls for the elimination of two states. I mean, you want to create some clicks? There we go. All right, let's talk about the team. Including what happened last year, because it's still part of the conversation, the offseason, and what's coming up. Let's not forget that Twins Fest is this weekend. It is a huge weekend for Twins followers to descend on Target Field. It is great. There will be thousands of folks there. The Diamond Awards are Thursday, right? Diamond Awards Thursday. There's all sorts of stuff going on related to the Twins and not far away. You'll hear all the regular season games and plenty of spring training games right here on CCO, the home of the Twins. Twins manager Rocco Baldelli is here. You know, when the season ends, everybody's got to get away. And we were talking about that a little bit off air. But then at some point, you start jumping back in and you look at what worked and what didn't work. And you know where I'm going. I mean, you're 17 games over 500. Are you a game behind the best record in all of baseball? You've had the best record in baseball for about 3 months. You're playing fantastic, and then you win 12 of your last 37. And if you could have changed it, you would have. And there's no simple solution. But do you have any different perspective looking at it now compared to when you're right in the middle of it?
I think I have a little bit of a different perspective. I also think my stomach and my heart rate and my ability to sleep over it has slightly, leveled off in a good way, because in the moment it's very hard to stay composed and ready to go and not letting anything affect you from the previous day. It was a very challenging season, to say the least. The first four and a half months of the season last year were fantastic. We got very good performances. We got performances from our top players. We got performances from guys that were more kind of role players, guys that came in and did a really nice job. And, you know, as it went so well for about four and a half months, in the last 6 weeks, openly, could not have been more difficult. Could not have got we couldn't have gone through tougher times. And, you know, I think it does make sense. It is a team, and we need to look at this on a team level. But what actually happened? That's our job to mm-hmm. decipher and figure out what that is. Our pitching was not exactly where it needed to be, but did its job, I would say, somewhere in the realm of what we would expect mm-hmm. and what we were happy with. Our offense, we were one of the bottom offenses. And when I say bottom, I mean very bottom in the league for the last 6 weeks. And that was hard to take because we have a good, talented offensive group. Our two best hitters – They were out, and when you're out without your best players, these aren't excuses. These are the facts of the situation that Buxton and Correa were not available for the last couple of months of the season. It's hard to produce the same way without them, but we still should have done better. And the other guys were capable of so much more. We just didn't get it. So it's our job to assess that and to reassemble this group in a mindset where this doesn't happen to us again. And that's what I spent the offseason doing.
Okay, so what are you doing? What was that process like to try to prevent that again? And just being candid, how much of that was on you last year? Because the manager gets the cliche is too much credit and too much blame, but you were getting plenty of credit when you're winning, and so you're going to have to assume some of that when you drop 25 of the last 37.
Yeah, it should be my job to explain it. The players will take some responsibility because they're professionals and they'll try to explain it, but that is my job to do. So what do you do about it? What do you do when, you know, we're likely going to return a similar group this year than we had last year? It's not like we're going to...
More than most teams normally do, wouldn't you
very
say?
Much so. Yeah. Very much so. We have a lot of players, a lot of younger players, a lot of guys that are here on multi-year contracts that aren't going anywhere. And they're good players. So why would we get rid of them? We wouldn't. We should roll them back out there, but hopefully an improved addition of them. So when we were having success, we were winning games by truly whacking the ball all around the park. We weren't doing it because we weren't doing it with, you know, tons of speed and athleticism and stealing base. We were doing it by hitting the ball hard. We had big, strong guys up mm-hmm. and down the lineup, and we were hitting homers and doubles, and it was we were slugging our way to success. And that is can be effective, but I think we need to have more clubs in our bag. And I think we need
Don't you think a home run approach is more likely for slumps compared to if you have the variety that you're talking about?
Probably the most concise way of saying it, yes. I am absolutely in agreement with that. So, you know, what do you do about that? And I think, we did make some staff changes. We have a new hitting department, really, that yep. we're going to unleash with our players in spring training. They're already hard at work. But the goals heading into spring training for our team are to talk about approach and to talk about wearing how to win games when you don't hit two home runs. What do you do?
I'll jump in because I remember two or three times, and I'm watching. I listen to games here, but I also watch now what is FanDuel, and you going at your team and saying we had a plan, we had an approach, and our guys didn't follow it. Right now, some of it you're just facing too good a pitching, and then slumps they just build upon themselves. So, what is the new approach to the guys? Let's say when your big three, when your new team sits down with Correa, Buxton, and Lewis, if they're healthy, what are they going to hear that's different, or is it not as much to Correa and Buxton because they're veterans? It's more to the other guys.
Well, I think it's for everyone. I think it's for all of our players, Correa and Buxton. When they were out there last year playing, they had very good years.
I agree.
They did. They really did. I mean, it's hard for me to say anything but that. Royce showed us more of what he's capable of. He also had a little bit of an up-and-down season, especially towards the end.
He had a pretty hard drop-off, right?
Yeah, he did, and that can happen with young players. But it's not about anyone specific. It's about a team-wide approach. And when I say we have to find ways to win games when we don't hit two or three homers in a game, we have to find a way to score five or six runs without hitting two homers at times. When I say that, the way you do that is you make better swing decisions. There are ways to do that. You can do that by frankly trying to do a little less, and you actually do it by trying to focus on just simply hitting a line drive somewhere as opposed to taking a really big pass at the ball, because the bigger you swing, you know, I guess this is not that funny, but the bigger you swing, like, the harder you fall. The bigger you swing, the more challenging it is to make good decisions, the more you have to put into it when you're swinging the bat in that manner. But if you're slightly more under control, aiming to hit the ball on a line, a low line drive somewhere, you're actually going to rein it in, tone it down, and make better decisions on a regular basis, meaning not swing at balls, not miss pitches that you probably could have hit, but to just have more consistent at-bats as opposed to more big at-bats and then a lot of at-bats where really nothing comes together. So it's about consistency.
Let's pause. We'll go fast through traffic and weather, come back with Rocco. We're going to let him go at about 244, 245 or so. But more with the Twins manager. If you want to send a text, we're not going to take calls. If you want to send a text, I can check those and maybe pose some of those questions to Rocco Baldelli, who's in studio. Text number 651-461-9226. Okay, so let's talk the big three here a little more because they draw the most attention. Let's talk Byron and Carlos. Today, how healthy are they?
Perfect isn't a word we use often in our game, but they're having pretty close to a perfect off season. So it was music to my ears every time I get on the phone or get an email from Nick Paparesta, our head trainer. Buck, this is the first time Byron Buxton's had a clean, smooth, normal off season. Because most every off season he's rehabbed something, he's had a procedure, he's had something going on. So he's been in a really good spot. He's just able to go do baseball stuff. He's able to go work out like every other player, you know, deserves to be able to do. You would think everyone does this. But he's had to work twice as hard as any other guy every single offseason. This year, he's good. So Correa, the plantar fasciitis has resolved. He's in a good spot. He's been in normal workouts for a while now. So this is exactly what we want to see.
Okay, so with both those guys in games played in a semi-ideal world, you're right, there's no perfect. Can you play Byron more in center field this year? And with Carlos, because it's happened back-to-back years, do you have to find a way maybe to play him less at shortstop?
Well, I think everyone would love for me to sit here and say, yes, let's play Byron more. Like, of course I'd love to play Byron every day, 162 I would love to see. But I think what we're going to see is some sort of schedule for Byron where he's playing just as he was playing last year, which is a lot. And he was on pace to get a ton of at-bats last year. I don't know what he ended up with, 385. I don't know what it was. Something like that, maybe high 300s. But he missed time at the end. So if he hadn't missed that collective time at the end of the season, we're talking a good number of at-bats for him. Maybe it's 500 plate appearances or at-bats. So if we get something like that out of him again this year, we're going to be ecstatic to watch him play on a very regular basis. And Correa, I don't think that there's anything that we're going to be able to do as far as schedule that's going to change anything for him. When he's been healthy and fine, he's been good. The plantar fasciitis has shown up out of the blue. It's not like that's something that...
You don't think that's tied in any way to the other health issue, which caused some of the other teams to back away?
There's not one direct link of evidence or anything that we know of from our doctors, from our medical staff, that connects those things. This is something that some players deal with. I dealt with it as a player. Some of the great players, Evan Longoria, that I spent a lot of time with in Tampa Bay, dealt with this on a reasonably regular basis. And sometimes you can play through it, it's a very painful thing, but you can play through it. There's no long-lasting effects. Sometimes it's too much. I think this is something that we can work through. Frankly, I would like them to play a little more in spring training this year to try to condition their bodies and get them a little more prepared for the rigors of the season. If anything, I think that makes the most sense.
Put it out there, Dave. Rocco Baldelli says Byron Buxton will play every inning of spring training.
That's what I heard.
Every inning, that's what I heard.
Playing all defensive positions.
And also says Vermont is dead to the rest of the United States of America. When Roy said he was tired, I think there were people in the media, I'm raising my hand, kind of went, is that really the message? It seemed like Carlos might have not been thrilled by that also. Did you talk to him about that? Did you talk to him after the season about that? Or what was your reaction to that?
Yeah. So I think that I spoke with both of them, and I talk with both of them a lot. So it's not like this is like a, hey, I call all of the players in the office every time I need to talk to them about something serious or have a con. I talk to these guys all the time. You know, I think what Royce was going through last year was a long season. And what he also dealt with was the first time in his major league career where he wasn't Superman. And I think that that's sometimes a challenging thing for young players to deal with, because our game is set up to see failure at some point. I've never been around a player who has not struggled for extended periods of time in major league baseball, and it's not easy to deal with. And I think that some of that comment was he was beat up and physically feeling it. But also, I think some of it was also the mental beat up that comes with the season. I think those two things probably got to him, which they can get to anyone. I do think that he's more set up going forward, having experienced that last year, to deal with things in a more productive and a better fashion going forward. I think Royce will.
Who is your starting second baseman as of now?
That's a great question. Yeah. Wouldn't you like it if I declared that? Because then we could say.
Yeah, we'll put that after the main should be eliminated from the United States of America.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. The elimination of multiple states is what we're calling for here. No. There are a few spots in the field, shortstop, center field, the guys that are going to catch for us. Royce will be out there. There are certain spots. We know who's going to be there. I like there to be competitiveness in spring training. I like for guys to come in with no promises attached to their season. I want guys that are going to come in, work hard, and earn a position and earn at-bats. And I think there are several spots on the field for us that are going to need – they're going to need that.
Third base, first base, second base.
We have first base. We have second base. These spots on the field are going to need to be filled by someone. We have several players that have had good runs. They've been good in the minor leagues. Some of them have been good in the big leagues. But I don't think we have one player that is going to hold down first base or second base right now for us. We have guys that are going to have to go out there and earn those spots.
This is a tough one because you're the manager, but I would be I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask it. If ownership would spend money, you might have a first baseman. You might have a second baseman. Does it frustrate you that the position that the Poleds have taken and the sale where the payroll was one much larger number a couple of years and it's not close to it right now?
Things like that don't frustrate me. That's not my role to worry about what-ifs and hypotheticals and watch, say, what the Dodgers are doing, you know, currently and signing all these players.
They signed Aaron Judge in the last 2 months.
They did, too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, the Yankees.
They should make that announcement next. Breaking news, you know? No. We have tremendous support from our owners. The Poleds were one of the main reasons why I came here in the first place, and I wanted to leave my former club to take this position. We have both support on the field and support off the field throughout our organization. Those are the important things that I look for in a stable, well-run, really functional baseball team.
Do you ever go to them and try to make the case? I know you guys have to manage the budget. But if we did this move, I know it goes over the budget, but this could really help us. Or do you feel like you shouldn't even go in that area?
Well, I don't go in that area. And Derek and Jeremy, who run our organization, are responsible for setting our team up. You know, I talk to them constantly. We discuss a lot of decisions or potential players we could deal with or bring in. But frankly, my job is to worry about the players in the clubhouse. My job is to help players improve. My job is to take all the players that we have and work with them. Now, I will say this. The state of baseball, we could have a whole show. I could come back tomorrow and we could talk the state of baseball in a lot of ways. And there's a lot to talk about. It's a really interesting conversation. But, with every team is set up in a different place, in a different market, in a different situation. And I think that we put a ton of the resources that we bring in right back on the field in order to succeed. A lot of, whatever you want to call it, I don't use the words revenue very much. I don't like to talk like that. But the revenue we bring in gets reinvested right back into our club over and over and over again. So any thought that that's not happening that's not true. That's the way that we function as an organization and a really great organization too.
Okay, last one, baseball, and I'll let you go. Everybody's healthy in the bullpen and your face, and the Yankees are one of the elite lineups, and it's the ninth inning, and everybody's healthy. Who's your closer in that situation?
You know what? Is this breaking news, too?
Yeah, well, it depends what you say.
No. The way that
Griffin Jacks was awfully good.
Griffin Jacks
might have been your best player last
year. Was awesome.
Yeah.
Griffin Jacks was one of the probably 3 to 5 best relievers in all of baseball last year. But I also think that you need a team of late-inning bullpen arms to win. Yeah. You can't win. Say you had the best reliever in baseball and you had no one to support him. It really doesn't matter that much because your team will not succeed at that point. But Griffin's one of those guys. Duran's one of those guys. Cole Sands was a really, really great.
Probably your biggest surprise last year.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he went from starting and being just okay as a starter to being a truly above average, really good turn two.
And so is the ninth more shared maybe this year?
And it has been.
Yeah.
And it has been. So it's like I think about it backwards. I don't work backwards from the ninth inning. Yeah. I want to keep the lead in the sixth and the seventh and the eighth inning to hand the ball to a good pitcher in the
and
ninth.
And you've
inning.
Used those guys before. I just didn't know if in the end it was any different.
No, I'll still work.
Okay.
I'll still work through the game as opposed to back through the game from the ninth. I think we have a chance to have one of the better bullpens in all of baseball, to say the least.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chad.
Great conversation with Rocco Baldelli. You'll hear every single inning, every single pitch of the Twins right here on CCO.